Good day, KVNF listeners. This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, January 27th. I'm Brody Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. Both Telluride and Mountain Village Town Councils are now investigating the same meeting that took place earlier this month. The meeting involved Telluride Mayor Pro Tem Meehan Fee and former Mountain Village Mayor Marty Prochaska. Both traveled to California to meet with Chuck Horney, the owner of Telluride Ski and Golf. During that meeting, Fee and Prochaska signed an offer to purchase a majority stake in the ski resort on behalf of unnamed investors. Both officials say they were acting as private citizens. But the written offer that was leaked later online included commitments that raised concerns for both town councils. Those commitments referenced actions typically reserved for municipal governments, not private investors. The commitments in the offer to buy included things like freezing the water rates for snowmaking, entering housing partnerships for resort employees, increasing regional spending on air services, and committing both towns to take commercially reasonable steps to resolve the then-active ski patrol strike. Town officials say those are decisions that normally require council approval, public process, and in some cases, voter oversight. Prochaska resigned shortly after questions surfaced about the trip and the offer. Last week, Telluride Town Council voted unanimously to open a third-party investigation, and Fee agreed to take a temporary leave of absence. Mountain Village initially halted its own inquiry after Prochaska resigned, but has now reopened the investigation, citing new information. Officials from both Telluride and Mountain Village say that the goal is now transparency and restoring public confidence. And the Project 7 Water Authority is moving forward with its resiliency project, even as concerns continue to surface from board members and the public. The project would add a second water treatment plant south of Montrose with access to raw water from Ridgeway Reservoir. Right now, the existing plant east of Montrose relies on a single raw water source through the Gunnison Tunnel. At a January 22nd work session and board meeting, discussions centered on rising costs, long-term water security, and public trust. When the project was first proposed, the new plant was estimated to cost around $60 million. That projection has now grown to roughly $185 million. Several board members questioned whether the current plan is affordable and whether other options should still be considered. Others said the authority needs clearer direction and stronger technical guidance before moving further. The board agreed to form a technical committee made up of staff from the member entities to help evaluate risks and alternatives. Project 7 leaders stressed the need to plan decades into the future, even as some members noted that regional water use has remained largely flat in recent years. And Immigration and Customs Enforcement and local law enforcement are investigating an incident near Vail. That's where a Latino advocacy nonprofit reported that racist playing cards were left in abandoned cars after the drivers had been detained. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio's Hallie Zander reports.
The Ace of Spades is sometimes called the death card. Some U.S. soldiers used these cards during the Vietnam War, attaching them to the bodies of dead enemy soldiers. The CIA said it was effective psychological warfare at the time. Printed on the cards found this week were the phone number and physical address of an ICE processing center in Aurora. It's unclear if ICE officials left the cards. An ICE spokesperson condemned the behavior in an email Friday afternoon and said the agency is investigating. The Eagle County Sheriff's Office is also looking into the incident and called it disturbing.
Solar and wind are now the cheapest forms of power, and renewable energy has continued to dominate growth here in the U.S. That's despite ongoing attacks from the Trump administration, but much more still needs to be done to avoid the worst effects of climate change. The Rocky Mountain Institute calls itself a think and do tank, facilitating climate solutions around the world. Founded in Snowmass more than 40 years ago, the nonprofit analyzes how companies or governments can embrace clean energy and then helps make it happen. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli recently sat down with Rocky Mountain Institute's CEO, John Kreitz, to talk about climate progress and the challenges ahead.
I saw the session at the Mountain Towns Summit that you moderated with the local utilities. Generally speaking, how would you assess the state of local climate progress?
I think local climate progress has been really gaining traction here, especially in Mountain Towns. And some of the most innovative practices are being done by the smaller utilities that sit in mountain towns that are figuring out ways to place batteries within their systems for resiliency.
Yeah, I went back and watched some of that conversation, and Brian Hannigan, the CEO of Holy Cross, ended it by essentially saying, like, you know, we're doing great innovations in the realm of electricity. It's kind of up to the rest of you to make the climate progress in those other sectors. So I'm curious what you see as, like, maybe some areas of potential improvement.
I would say methane leakage, super important. You know, this has been historically a fossil fuel producing region, and we do have methane coming out from coal mines, as well as leakage from some of the natural gas that we're taking out of unconventional sources here. So it makes sense for us to save that and minimize it. And RMI has done quite a bit of work to highlight how and where we can do that cost effectively, and in the process, minimize the amount of temperature increase that we see from our ongoing use of fossil fuels here.
I know you were at COP30 recently, and I'm sure you're constantly in touch with people who are working on renewables and more climate-friendly systems. What are you hearing from those people that are doing that work? Like, what is kind of the general sentiment around this space right now?
One of my key takeaways from COP30 is that the rest of the world isn't waiting right now, that there are significant motivations for pursuing a clean, affordable, resilient energy future that are really propelling countries like Brazil, like India, like Australia, like Morocco, and I can go down a list. And roughly 80% of the world looks at clean energy and says, this is what we need. This is what the most affordable solution is. And we need to supercharge and drive as quickly as we can toward that future. That is a very different narrative than what we hear here in the United States. So it's important for us to recognize that the world is moving at different speeds in different directions.
In order to address the climate crisis, do you feel that substantial innovation is still needed, or that we kind of generally have the technology that we need? It's just a matter of implementation now.
Yeah, when we look at where we are overall with solving climate change, we have significant amounts of technology available to cover roughly 70% of the problem or the challenge, and to do that cost effectively. There is stuff that we still need to solve for, and especially in heavy industry, we don't have good affordable answers for things like steel or cement. We don't have good affordable answers for the chemicals industry, et cetera, where constant innovation is required. Now, that said, innovation is a powerful way for us to get further faster as well. And as those technological innovations come forward, it creates a more exciting future for us all to engage with. You know, we look and see now what we can do with batteries and vehicles, and that's exciting. Well, it's not going to be very long until you're buying your HVAC system with a backup battery system associated with it. So you don't have to worry when the grid goes down about actually staying warm or cold, depending on what season we're in.
One more big picture question for you. What do you see as the greatest challenge to addressing climate change?
The greatest challenge to addressing climate change isn't about the technology, and it's not about the economics anymore either, right? We have affordable solutions. It is about us, right? It's about people. It's about how do we work together to scale and overcome some of the barriers and overcome some of the preconceptions and ultimately align for whatever reason. And the more that we recognize that from whatever our individual motivations are, these are the answers that make sense, the less we'll worry about some of the concerns with what others think or the politics of the moment.
That was John Kreitz, CEO of the basalt-based Rocky Mountain Institute, discussing climate solutions with Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli. That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico that includes KVNF. That's your regional newscast for Tuesday, January 27th. Thanks so much for joining us. For more local news and information, log on to kvnf.org. And did you know that you can listen to the regional newscast on Spotify and YouTube as well? just search for KVNF Regional Newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.